And welcome to Manifesting Love, how to manifest a mate and or a date. Another great recording from freenevel.com. Now, what I want you to do is this. I want you to consider two things. One, what you're going to learn today, in addition to five things you never want to do when manifesting a relationship, is you're going to learn something that sounds very counterintuitive in phase one. There's five phases to this program. You're going to learn something that sounds very counterintuitive, but works like wildfire. So, and the second thing that we're going to cover in real quick right at the beginning in phase one is to stop adding in what you don't need. So let me give you a little bit of background. Years and years ago, I was teaching police officers and little old ladies how to knock out muggers instantly. It's part of my background as a black belt in Kenpo karate and a couple other things. I was teaching a lot of courses and stuff like this. And one of the things that I taught, there was this little old lady. Her name was Martha in my program. And Martha was married to a guy that would beat on her. And one of the things that we covered in the course was when somebody goes to attack you, you don't step back. Stepping back feels intuitive, but that leaves them in control. What you do is you step in. And when you step in, that gives you control over the timing, the distance, and literally it changes everything and stops the attacker. So what I'm going to share with you today is just as counterintuitive as stepping into an attacker is. But I will guarantee it'll change your world. So if you're going to manifest a mate, if you're going to manifest a date, if you're going to manifest love inside of your life, phase one, this is going to sound a tiny bit counterintuitive. But I want you to do this because I know it works. What I want you to do is to just imagine her being happy. Now, when I use the word her, of course, it could be a him, but I'm a guy, and it's easier for me to say her, so that's what I'm going to do. So what I want you to do is just imagine her being happy. Because that's what you really want. You want her to be happy. Now, you want her to be happy with you, but as soon as we go there, desperation shows up. And first, she just has to feel happy. So what I want you to do is to do what seems to be 100% counterintuitive. I want you to do your Feel It Real sessions with her being happy. That's all. So 85% of the time or so, when I tell people this, I'll say, what I need you to do, Jack, is to just simply see her being happy. And Jack will almost every time go, I can't do that. I don't want to see her happy with anyone else. You see, that leads us to the second point in phase one. Stop adding in. My grandma taught me how to make bread when I was a little boy. And one of the things that I learned was you only need five ingredients to make great bread. You need water, flour, yeast, a little wee bit of sugar to activate the yeast, and a pinch of salt. That's it. Now, if you decide you want to add more into your bread, you're taking a chance with it. Of course, you could add raisins, you could add sesame seeds. I've done all that. But after a while, if you add coffee grounds or ground meat or something like that, you don't have a good loaf of bread anymore. You've got a mess. And what tends to happen, there's a couple mistakes that people make when it comes to this stuff. But one of the things is they make a movie of her with someone. And I don't want you to do that. What I want you to do, again, you're going to find out why in a second here. I want you to make a movie of her being happy. Don't add anyone into it. If you add someone else into it, that's you adding into it. Prune the vine. Neville says to prune the vine. So prune the vine. Cut the other person out. If you make a movie of you and her happy, again, you're making the spectator state mistake, which means this. Okay? Why do we want to make a movie of just her being happy? Because if you were in a relationship with her, what would you want? You'd be walking around the house, you'd be living your life with her, and you'd be looking through your eyes, seeing what? Seeing her being happy. Now, this is really simple. Again, phase one is very, very simple. We've got five phases that we're working through here. Five phases and five things that you never want to do. So in phase one, just imagine her being happy. Don't put you in the image at all. Don't do it. Just do it because, now think of it this way. Victoria and I are at home, right? I look over and I see her on the computer. I don't see me sitting next to her. If I did, that would be a little weird. Okay, I just see her on the computer being happy. Sometimes she's playing Scrabble on the computer. Sometimes she's doing research for the garden. But I look over and I see her being happy. She's not all that far away from me. But I don't see me. All I see is her happy. That's what a relationship is like. You want her to be happy. So that's what I want you to see. By the way, Neville says, to construct a scene that implies your wish has been fulfilled. What a nice way to imply your wish has been fulfilled, because you're seeing her happy. You do a session and you see her happy on the computer. You do a session and you see her happy eating a meal. You do a session and you see her happy doing what she does, doing what she loves to do. So that's where we want to start. Again, the most common mistake here is you see her happy with anyone, including you, in the movie. Don't do that. Just see her happy. And remember, you know, the second part of the lesson with making bread, it only takes 5 ingredients to make good bread. If you're adding things in, like another man, or if you're adding things in, like you've got to be in the movie, you're ruining your loaf. A loaf of bread only needs 5 things: flour, water, yeast, a little bit of sugar to activate the yeast, and a pinch of salt for flavor. That's all a good loaf of bread needs. Anything else added in could make the bread better, but also might contaminate the bread. And we want to make sure you're not contaminating your scenes by taking them from feeling real to feeling something different, right? Again, what are you going to naturally see? If you're seeing through your own eyes, if you are in a relationship with her, you're hopefully seeing her happy every day. So that's where we begin. So that was phase 1A. Let's do phase 1B. There's what we call the delightful distance of the dance. In other words, what I want you to notice is how far away from you. See, try this. Close your eyes and imagine her being happy. How far away from you is she? You see, there's a distance where you participate in the happiness with her. It's a natural distance. It's the distance that you're at when you dance. And that could be right next to each other, or it could be 5-10 feet away, no more. Think of a tango. When a couple tangos, sometimes they're right next to each other, and sometimes they're literally right outside of arm's length, you know, working back and forth, coming towards further apart, but they're almost never more than 10 feet away from each other. You know, think of it this way. The delightful distance of the dance is the distance where you and her are participating in each other's lives. There's no spectator. In other words, you know, if I see Victoria on the computer, odds are I'm only about 5-10 feet away from her. I could be further, but odds are I'm pretty close. There's a lot of scenes in my daily life with her where I'm only 5 inches, 5 feet, 10 feet max away from her. That's participating in each other's lives. So the distance in which you see her at is going to imply something. Remember, we had an article on the site where a lady manifested a brand new SUV for her neighbor. She would look out of her window, and she would imagine looking out her window and seeing the SUV in the driveway. So every day she did her sessions, she would look out the window and see the SUV in the driveway. Well, one day she looks out the window, and guess what? There's an SUV outside. And it looks like it's in the driveway, but actually it's in the neighbor's driveway. Because her driveway is just far enough away from her house, and it's close enough to the neighbor's driveway that the neighbor got a brand new SUV, and that's what she saw from her window. And so she sent the letter in. We published it on freeneville.com. But there's a point here that'll change your life in amazing ways. Again, phase one, just imagine her happy. Not with someone. If you're imagining her happy, if I say imagine her happy and you imagine, oh my God, she's with another guy. No, no, no. You added stuff to your bread. You don't need to do that. If you see a movie with you in it, you know, that's not how your daily life works. If you see your body in daily life, you're having an out-of-body experience all the time. That's not living. Okay? See through your own eyes and see from that distance where interaction is possible. 5 inches to 5 feet, maybe up to 5 yards, 15 feet or so, that's fine. But it's the area where you'd be dancing with them at. And there's a lot of different ways to dance. Again, up close, a little bit of distance, getting closer, a little further apart. That's all part of a relationship. That's all part of relating. So that's phase 1B. Remember phase 1? It's almost counterintuitive. Just imagine her happy. Phase 1B, the distance is the distance of the dance. And so now we're going to go on to phase 2. So in phase 2, generally, we want to acknowledge something. You want to see through your own eyes. Okay, generally speaking, whenever you are doing a feel-it-real session, nevelizing, whatever you want to call it, if the sense of vision is involved, you want to be seeing through your own eyes. You don't want to see a movie with your body in it. However, there are some people that just seem to naturally do that. And there are a few ways around that, but here's a really good way to incorporate that. So if you see you and her in a movie, this is a great way to turn this into what we need it to be. Okay? In phase 3, you don't want to do phase 3 right at the beginning. Not unless you're one of those people who habitually imagines movies with your body in them. In other words, if I say imagine you're happy and you see her and your body. Okay, you're not your body, you're the consciousness. Remember that. But if you do that, if you find that happening, this is a great way to, you know, to get this to work well for you. So if you find yourself making movies of her and you, your body, what I want you to do is to construct a scene, just morph it a little bit to where you two are both watching movies of you two. Okay, so get this? It would be like if Victoria and I were sitting down right now watching a movie of our most recent trip to New Zealand. If we were sitting here watching a movie of our most recent trip to New Zealand, which includes footage of both of us, we'd be both sitting there. I'd be looking over at her once in a while, looking up at the screen. I'd hear her out there laughing and giggling, having a good time here in the room as well as on the screen. You get it? So what I'm doing is I'm creating a scene that includes that movie, the movie of both of our bodies. And when I construct a scene of us watching the movie, again, I look over at her and the only thing I can really see is maybe my shoulder, maybe my hand. Or I can just see her watching this movie of us, fondly remembering our most recent trip to New Zealand. You see, it's a real simple thing to bring you into a scene, and that's what we're talking about here. Again, phase 2, you don't want to do this at first, unless you find yourself naturally doing, making the movies with your body in it. And if you do, just run with this. Okay, this is not the preferred way to do it, but this is a way that some people have got to do it in order to start constructing scenes the way that we know works and what we teach in the Feel It Real program. So phase 2, we want to turn that movie problem into a powerful tool for manifesting by simply constructing a scene where I look over and I see Victoria happily watching these lovely movies of the two of us. So I can, maybe I still see the screen, maybe I don't, it doesn't matter, but I'm watching her watch the movies. Get it? And again, I don't see my body while I'm watching her watch the movies. All I see at most is maybe my hand, maybe my shoulder, maybe nothing at all. But again, this takes us back to phase 1, where what am I doing? I'm imagining her being happy. Phase 3, what we want to do is we want to invite her to be a part of your world. Now, what I want you to do is to simply notice that it's easy to put pressure on somebody. If you imagine that she is the source of you feeling loved, or she is the source of your happiness, you're going to run into problems. You're going to be putting pressure on her. Now, another way that... Well, so what I want you to do is this. One of the best ways, again, we talk about being attractive, or if you want to attract a mate, if you want to attract a date, there's a word in there. It's called attract, okay? If you want to attract love into your life, again, it's about being attractive. If you're going to be attractive, you want to give her the freedom to choose to be in your world. Now, how do you do that but still feel it real? Yet what you do is you create a great life for you. And you do that in your imagination. You do that with your actions. And that makes you happy-centered. That makes you, happy-centered internally. It's not that, oh, I'll be happy when I'm with her. It's no, I'm happy. I'm amazingly happy. I'm chasing my dreams. I'm having a wonderful time. I'm doing my sessions. I'm exploring my hobbies, my interests. You see, if you do that, if you use Feel It Real to develop you, to make you more attractive generally, you're going to be more attractive to her as well. So begin there. The second part here with phase three is to envision and build your relationships with friends. Again, if you don't envision and build your relationship with friends, you're not going to be a very good friend. So literally, being a better friend to your friends makes you a better friend to her as well. You know, some people say, oh, you don't want to be stuck in the friend trap. You know what? I want to be my wife's best friend. I want to be an amazing friend with her because I love her. I love what she's about. And for me to be a good friend with her, I have to have already built in the capacity to be a good friend. So use Feel It Real to envision and to build your relationship with friends, other people in your life. And if you don't have many friends, well, you don't just have a relationship problem. You've got the opportunity to start creating all sorts of relationships in your lives. That'll take, again, pressure off of her. So envision and build great relationships with friends. Okay, other people, not just her. And that'll bring something to your life which will, again, make you much more attractive. You know, I got a friend who says, you know what women want? They want a guy that's popular. And you know what? That just might be true. But you know what a guy wants? A guy wants a woman that's not necessarily popular or unpopular, but a woman who has friends, a woman that knows how to relate to people. A friend of mine made me aware of this statistic the other day that the average person in our culture has 0.7 good friends, people they trust, people they can open to. Think about that. If you've got 0.7 good friends, people you can trust, people you can open up to, that puts a lot of pressure on anyone that you are in a relationship with. On the other hand, I've got, three or four, five, just counting in my head, about five, six, seven. I've got about seven, eight people I can open up to pretty darn deeply. And that, again, that takes a lot of pressure off Victoria. And that allows me to have the capacity to be a good husband, to be a very good friend to her, but also to be able to open up to a couple other people in my life as well. So it's not all the pressure on her. So the next bit. Again, phase three is all about removing pressure. If you're going to take some notes or you're going to mark up the handout a little bit, you want to remember this section is about removing pressure. Some people say, well, if you want to attract her back or if you want to be in a relationship, get busy, keep busy, especially if you're trying to get someone back. This is what I read and people tell me. You want to keep busy. Well, they say that to addicts too. What's an addict? An addict is nothing more than someone who goes, I can't be happy till I watch porn. I can't be happy until I use heroin. I can't be happy till I have a drink. They're putting the power outside of them. In other words, they're putting the pressure on the drink. They're putting the pressure on porn. They're putting the power, the pressure out there someplace. So I don't want you to get busy, but I do want you to get active. Now think about this. If you're getting busy, people say, keep busy and you won't take the drug. Keep busy, you won't do porn. Keep busy, you won't think about her. No, what I want you to do is, it's not about getting your mind off of her. It's about getting your awareness into your life. And if you get your awareness into your life, what's going to happen is you're going to find, by the way, Victoria loves that I go outside and sketch. She loves that I take my walks every day. I leave for an hour. I've got my thing. I'm passionate about discovering the people, the places in my neighborhood. And I've got just all sorts of activities that I do. I'm not busy, but I'm active. So again, use Feel It Real to imagine yourself being more active. Again, one of the things that I notice is the average person that I've talked to who has problems with relationships is they've got 0.70. They've got 0.7 good friends. Okay, that puts a lot of pressure on her. yeah, they think her is the source of happiness. Yeah, so they don't feel loved unless she's telling them or demonstrating to him that they're loved. They're not busy. I say, hey, what do you do? Well, I sit around and I think about her all the time. Well, no, don't do that. Get out there and get a life. Yeah, imagine, create the friendships, create the activity in your life. And again, it's not about being busy, it's about being alive. So use Feel It Real to be confident, to be happy, to create a you that's passionate, to create a you that's attractive, not just to her, but to everyone. Again, you know, people find out some of the stuff I'm interested in. And I mean, I could talk to people for hours because I'm interested in a lot of things. And I draw lots of weird things together. I live a very interesting life. I love it. And people love when I share stories. And part of the key with that is it makes me more attractive, not because I want to be attractive, but because I'm attracted to so much. When you find yourself attracted to life, you're going to find that people are attracted to you. When you're attracted to living, when you're taking action, when you have a burning desire for something, read, think, and grow rich. When you have a burning desire, you're definitely much more attractive, not just to her, but to everything. And that includes money. That includes health. Think about this. What cures the body of a lot of health conditions? Being active. What cures the mind of worry? Having a passionate desire, something that dominates the mind besides imaginary problems. So get active. Use your Feel It Real sessions around stuff like that, not just her. I've got a guy who calls me up. He says, look, I've been doing 5 Feel It Real sessions a day to get my girlfriend back. He says, wow, what else do you do? I says, nothing. I'm like, dude, not cool. Use your sessions. Use your life. You're here. Live your life today. And use your sessions to live every moment, to squeeze every possibility out of every moment. And you will be much more attractive to her, to money, to health, to everything. Again, there's some really good keys there. So let's dive into phase 4. Phase 4 is about what do you really want? What do you really want? And what don't you want? That'll be part of phase 5. Phase 4, what you really want is what you felt with her, or what you imagine that you will feel with her. What you want is a feeling. What you really want is a part of you already that you simply access more easily with her involved. Again, I had an email the other day. A fellow says to me, if we're one with God, then what are we giving thanks to? And there's a couple ways to answer that. One of the things that we want to do in our sessions is to use that thank you feeling. Oh, yes, thank you. You just feel that, right? And so he says to me, what are we being thankful to if we're one with God? Well, first of all, we could explain it as you're giving thanks to your higher dimensional self. Being one with God is like being the cutting edge of the samurai sword. There's more to the samurai sword than the cutting edge, but you and I are the cutting edge of the samurai sword. And the rest of that is that higher dimensional self that takes care of the how, that takes care of the what, the when. Being the cutting edge, we don't got to worry about that. Being the cutting edge, we just know where we're going. The cutting edge is what leads the rest of the sword, let's say. It's the first thing. The first thing that touches whatever the sword's going to cut is that cutting edge. The first thing that touches what you're manifesting is you, your imagination. And when you release all that into your higher self and you give thanks, you're giving thanks to your higher self, which is, again, part of you. You're the cutting edge, part of the sword. It's all one sword. Another way to look at that is you're entering into that state of thanksgiving. Again, you can be thankful without being thankful to somebody, to something. I have a friend whose mother is always fearful. She walks around and you can watch. She'll get a look on her face and you can watch. She'll get a look on her face. She'll feel, fear, and then she'll apply it to something. She'll look around and find something to apply it to. This is how it works. Feelings show up before thoughts. And so what happens is that the field of fear, the field of desire, the field of love, you can access that directly. All you got to do is this. Close your eyes. Do it right now. Close your eyes. We're going to explore what you really want. Again, this is what phase four is all about. What do you really want? Close your eyes. What I want you to do is to remember a time when you were amazingly happy. Just remember it. Remember that in detail. Remember, where were you? What'd you smell? Where'd that happy feeling start in your body at? How did it move? What happens when it grows? Now, if you do that, you've just proven something. You can access that happy feeling anytime, anywhere. I used to do this with drug addicts. People, come to me because I was doing some work with addiction years ago. And one guy comes and he's like, man, I just need to smoke some weed to mellow out all the time. I mean, I got to smoke weed a couple times a day to mellow out. I says, what's it like? He goes, what's it mean? What do you mean? I said, close your eyes. Yeah, just close your eyes. And I want you to notice if you were smoking weed now, where would you feel that at in your body? Where does that feeling begin? And as it grows, that pleasurable feeling, how does that grow? How does it move? How do you feel that expanding? What's it like? And you can watch him. He goes, wow, yeah, it feels good. Now open your eyes. And he goes, yeah, that's what I need. He says, you just did it without the weed. Okay, I led you, but you can learn to lead yourself just by using the same kinds of sentences. Now, love is the same thing. You can watch a movie about a couple in love. And that will help you access those feelings. But those feelings are all already a part of you. Remember, you are bigger than any state. You can choose the state. You can create the state. Some people watch love movies and it's like, I'm not interested. I need something to be grumpy. Let's turn on the news. I want to watch something and be fearful. No, why would you do that? But some people, that's what they do. They got to find, I need to feel fearful, so I'll watch the news. It's not that the news makes them feel fearful. They just like feeling fearful and they need an excuse for it. And again, you can create the state that you want. Now think about this. In a relationship, these are the ones that people tell me about. They want to be with her because I feel loved and I feel loving when I'm with her. When I'm with her, I feel open. When I'm with her, I can fully express myself. Well, guess what? You can feel those things anytime you choose to. Because remember, what Neville's teaching is not just how to manifest something. He's teaching the truth about you, the truth about me. The truth about you and the truth about me is that we are greater than any state. So at any time, you can activate that state. Like I take the drug addict and I have him access marijuana just by talking to him. Pretty cool. We can listen to some beautiful music and use that as a trigger to help us access something inside of us. A good friend of mine, she's got 9 cats. She feels loved and loving with the cats. She tells me, you know what, I'm not looking to be in a relationship. I love my cats. My cats love me. And even when she's not with her cats, and if I tell her, hey, tell me about them. Well, yeah, but tell me about the newest kitties that you got, because she just had a few more. One of them had some babies, and she, oh, they're so cute. And she goes right into state, the state that she has with the cats, by thinking about them, by allowing herself to come from the state of what it's like to be with the kitties. Now, here's the key. When you can be loved and loving with everyone you meet, when you can be truly open with everyone you choose to be, when you can let the deepest part of you be expressed at any time, with a friend, with a stranger, then, again, what are you going to be? You're going to be removing pressure from her. This sort of takes us back to phase 3. And you're going to be embodying the truth about you, which is you are greater than any state. Not you and her are greater than any state. Or you and her need to be together for you to feel loved. You can feel loved and feel loving right now. And all you have to do is just close your eyes and remember, what's it like when I'm loved, when I'm loving? And if you don't remember, go out and help somebody. A friend of mine helped a little boy learn how to ride a bike recently. Another friend of mine helped a little old lady walk across the street. Another friend of mine told me a story of, by the way, you can go out and you can do these things. You can be loving towards people, not just helpful, but you can be loving. You could help a little boy ride a bike. You could help a little old lady walk across the street, but you could be loving while you do that. And again, if you're doing that, you're creating the state of love. You're creating the state of loving. Instead of going, I need you to feel loved. I need you to feel loved. I need you so I can feel loved. That'll just repel her. So Phase 4, what do you really want and where can you really find it? That's what we're talking about there. And so let's dive into Phase 5, why it works. And, well, let's talk about it this way. Love is invitational. Love is attractive. Love is not manipulative. You see, if you're doing your sessions to get back together with her, on some level, you're going to feel as if you are manipulating her, and you're going to have guilt. If you feel like you're manipulating her, if you're removing her free will, and if you truly do love her, you're not going to want to do that. So if you want to get back together with her, or if you want to get together with her, if you've never been together, eliminate the guilt by being invitational. Eliminate the guilt by being attractive. And how do you do that? You become attractive, you become invitational by using what you've learned already. You see, there's a huge shift in Phase 5. We could probably say this in about 10 seconds. But there's this huge shift in Phase 5 that's important that you get. You're not manipulating her. Imagine her happy. If she ends up being happy without you or with someone else, who cares? Just imagine her being happy. If you were in a relationship with her, you'd want her to be happy. Guess what? You're in a relationship with me. You're in a relationship with every other human being on the planet. And so what you might as well do is imagine the other people on the planet being healthy, being happy, being wealthy. Neville says to do this, so do it. And if you do that, combined with the other bits that we've covered so far, think about this. You're becoming more attractive by becoming more of the dominant factor in your life. Once you start creating a great life for you using your sessions and using your actions, and you're finding happiness all over the place, if you're oozing happiness and passion all over the place, you can't help but be more attractive and more invitational to her, to everyone. And again, what's probably attracting you to her? The fact that she's got a life, the fact that she is attractive, because you get it? Love is invitational, not manipulative. So when you do your sessions, don't make them, I must get her back, so I'm going to do 5 sessions a day, and I know they're going to work because, no, don't do that. By the way, let's talk about a real neat hidden lesson here. Now, Neville Goddard talks about his brothers were coming in from Barbados. And I love this story. I use it all the time. And they were coming in and they wanted tickets to a sold-out show. And Neville calls up the theater. The show's sold out. So what's he do? He goes and he stands in line, knowing that he's going to get the tickets, right? He doesn't lock himself in his closet and wait for them to manifest mysteriously in his pocket. He goes and he stands in line, right? It's okay to take part in your manifestations, okay? Neville did it all the time. So Neville goes and he stands in line, and what happens right in front of him? A con man tries to get over on the ticket taker, or on the ticket seller, rather. A con man tries to get over on him, and Neville catches him. Now, Neville says, I'm just a little guy, and this is a big ruffian, but I told him right there, stop, I see what you're doing, you know, square up with this man. He probably saves the job of the guy that's selling the tickets, because the guy who's selling the tickets didn't realize he was being conned. And so Neville says, look, can you help me out? I just helped you out here. Can you help me out? I know you guys have reserved tickets for dignitaries and out-of-town people, something like that. I forget exactly what he said, but it was something along those lines. The guy went, talked to his manager, came back, gave Neville the tickets. Now, here's the key. And notice how this fits in with this. Did Neville turn that man into a con man? No. The con man just fulfilled his job. The con man chose to be a con man. And his path crossed with Neville's because Neville needed something to happen to get the tickets. Neville didn't go, I must have a con man do this, so I'll turn that guy into a con man. He'd be a good one. No. Neville didn't manipulate anything. He just knew the end. And if you know the end, the means will take care of itself. What's the end? The end is you being in a relationship. No. The end is you feeling love. The end is you being fully alive in your life. And guess what? Odds are that's going to be in a relationship. It may or may not be with her, and that's fine either way. Please get okay with that. Now, and here's the reason why. Whenever you are living from the end, and the end being, I am loved, I am alive, I'm passionate, I am attractive, I have the most amazing friends, I'm able to be open and loving and loved, and when you live from that state, she is going to be there, whoever she is. And it may or may not be the she that you have in mind, but odds are the she that you have in mind represents this state to you. Remember, you are what's greater than any state. If you assume the state, the people that need to play their parts will. And it may be her. It may be somebody else. It doesn't matter. Because once you've assumed the state, you'll realize exactly what I'm talking about here. And by the way, it works the same with money. You see, you don't walk around going, I have $1 million, or when I have $1 million, I'll be financially secure. You go, no, you know what I am? I am an investor. I invest my time in what matters. I invest my thinking, my imagining in what matters, what gives me positive return. Once you assume that state of investor, the universe, okay, that physical universe out there, which we've created through consciousness, will give to you in ways that you can't possibly imagine. Because you've taken the time to decide, I am an investor that gets paid well. And it's not just asserting that I'm an investor in the financial markets, which I am, but also it's about assuming the state of investor. I'm making this recording to invest in my life, to invest in yours, to make the world a better place. I'll read books today to make my world a better place. I will invest my time. I will spend very little of my time. I will invest almost all of my time. I will worry very little. And yeah, I still worry. But as soon as I do, I prune the vine. Because if I don't prune the vine, I'm spending my imaginal power versus investing it in something to bless somebody else. A fella sends us an email, we imagine good things for him. We don't just, and think about something stupid. We read the email and we imagine good things for people when they write to us. And they're blessed. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. And so why does it work? It works because this is invitational. It's not manipulative. It's about being attractive. They talk about the law of attraction. The law of attraction is nothing more than you deciding to be attractive to money, to love, to health. How do you become more attractive to money, to love, to health? It all begins with what you imagine. And if you imagine it intently enough, you will realize that you are bigger than any state, greater than any state, and you can create any state, and that state will create your circumstances. Like imagining the feeling of being loved to the point where you know that you're loved because you're alive. When you imagine the state so fully, not loved by her, just loved, odds are you're going to increase the chances of you being loved by her, and you will be loved by the right person, I promise you. Again, it's like Neville and the con man. Neville didn't need to create the con man. He didn't even need to create the con. He just knew the end. The end was he was getting the tickets. The end is you are loved. The end is you are love, period. So we've explored a lot of neat things today. Tell you what, before I close up, I'm going to go through the big bonus recording. So hold on for just a moment. Then we'll do big bonus and close. So the big bonus recording, this is not going to be all that long, but it's going to be very powerful. So the big bonus, five things that you never want to do when manifesting a relationship. Number one, seeing her with anyone, including you, in a movie. Okay, you don't want to do that. Again, you want to see her happy, as if you're looking through your own eyes, seeing her being happy. Now, there's one exception to that, which we've talked about, which is seeing her being happy, watching a movie of her and you. That's fine, that's pushing it a little bit, in my opinion, but for the people that find themselves making movies that include their bodies, use that. But again, literally, just see her happy. That's what you'd want in a relationship anyway. You just want her happy, so see her happy. If you're seeing her happy, that implies that you're in a relationship with her. Straight up, because that's what it would be like if you were in a relationship with her. Number two. The second mistake that you never want to make is see her having fun and being happy from a spectator distance. Okay, if you're more than 15 feet away, zoom in. Okay, if you're constructing a movie of her being happy, make it a dance range. Again, dancing is where you're interacting with her. Okay, that's where a huge amount of change happens. So the mistake was being at a spectator distance. The solution is to be at the dancing distance. Number three, put pressure on her. There's a mistake to make. You put invisible pressure on her by, again, making her the primary source of your happiness. In other words, you have no other friends, you have no other activities. That puts a lot of pressure on her, on anyone in your life. And so again, the fast fix, invite her to be part of your happy, wonderful world. And you do that by nebulizing activities, actions, friendships, the diversity in your world, so that you have more than just all that pressure on her. Number four. The fourth mistake, think the source of you feeling loved is her. Okay. In other words, if you make her the source of your state of being loved, again, that's putting a lot of pressure outside of her. It's like the marijuana addict thinking that he needs marijuana to relax. I just have him close your eyes. Notice what happens after you take that deep breath in and hold it for a second. Where does that feeling begin? How does it move? When it grows, what's it like? What's it like when you fully immerse yourself into it? And when I talk them through that, they have the experience. Usually I do it a little bit slower, but that's fine. But they discover that the source is not the marijuana. The source is their physiology. The source is actually their imagination driving their physiology. You imagine being with her will make you feel good. And that's fine. But just imagine feeling good. And then you can bring that feeling good to being. Not just with her, but just to being. And again, that will invite her. And number five, the mistake to make, and this is one of the big ones that you just have to get rid of right now, thinking that your sessions will make her do something against her will. She can only play her part. The con man was going to be the con man probably no matter what that day, someplace. He happened to be the con man in front of Neville because Neville needed the tickets. So you do your sessions, feeling loved. You do your sessions, creating all the activity in your life and the passion in your life so that you're fully alive, so that you're more attractive. And you will attract her. You will invite her. You're not going to make her do something against her will. If part of her will is to fall in love with you, she will. If she absolutely doesn't want to fall in love with anyone, she won't. And that's fine. But you want to get to the point where you get that you're not doing anything against her will. There's no chance of you doing anything against her will. Once you get that, and you get that the sessions are invitational, the sessions are about you being more attractive, more active in your life, that your sessions really are about you truly realizing that you are greater than any state, because you can create that state right now. And you're going to offer her the capacity, the opportunity to be with you. That's what it's all about. So I want to thank you for listening to Attract a Mate, Attract a Date, Manifesting Love. My name is Mr. 2020, and I've had a wonderful almost 45 minutes with you today. If you've enjoyed the recording, I've got a couple requests. Well, first of all, work with it. Don't just listen to this stuff. Print out the sheets. Mark them up, take some notes, do some sessions, not just about her, but do a bunch of different kind of sessions. Get your whole life rolling. Because, you know, a relationship is just a sub-portion of life. It's a subset. You know, Mondays are just a subset of the week. There's seven different days in the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Odds are, whatever your problem is on Monday will be related to, it'll be similar to the problems that you have on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Odds are, in your life, if you're having problems in a relationship, you're probably having problems relating to everything in life. Or at least some things. So you want to get all of your life active. You want to get all your life with this capacity to realize that you are the dominant factor. You are greater than any state. And the state you create creates the circumstance. That's the lesson this is here to teach you. And once you get that, again, you just become more attractive naturally. And that's what it's all about. So print out the handout, mark it up, work with this stuff, email us. We love testimonials and questions. That's probably two of our favorite things. Testimonials, because we can put them up on the site. They help us help more people. Questions, again, they help us refine what we're doing and remember what we forget. Because after a while, we forget some of this stuff. I know what it's like not to be in a relationship, and I know what it's like to be in one. But if nobody asks, I don't think about not being in a relationship. So when somebody says, you know, when I get emails saying I need help, you know, that helps us help you. So send us emails, send us testimonials, send us your questions. Have fun, work it, and some other stuff that fits in with this really well. Look at the Power and Freedom books. Gosh, there's some goody lessons in there that just help you really get the truth about states and about you. Our books, Power and Freedom. Of course, if you don't have the Feel It Real Power Pack, you got to get that. Just plain and simple, that's going to give you the most amazing solid foundation with doing this and doing it right. And that's it. Email us anytime. My name is Mr. 2020, and thank you for being a member of freenevel.com. See ya.